On today's Locked On Thunder podcast, we're going to dive into the 2023 NBA draft. How has the perception of this draft changed since November? Who is primed for a massive March Madness run? And which prospects will fill the holes that the Thunder need them to fill? All coming up on today's Locked On Thunder podcast.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, media member, and editor-in-chief over at thunderousintentions.com, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland underscore Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LO Thunderpod. Email the show, LOThunderpod at gmail.com. On today's show, we're diving into how the 2023 draft class has changed since November, which prospects fill which holes for the Thunder in this upcoming draft, who's primed for a big March Madness run, and let's do a few spins and situations on what can happen come draft night. So we'll talk about all that coming up, but today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. We're joined today by our good friend, Richard Stayman, host of Locked On NBA Big Board on Tuesdays. Richard, how are you doing today, and what's up with NBA Big Board?
Hey, it's going well, but we're in our sweet spot, I feel like. The NCAA tournament's happening. Let's be real. Most people don't and I want to preface this. I don't blame you for this. Like, most people don't watch a lot of college basketball. It's not a great product. So I don't blame people who choose not to watch. It's better, I feel like, to live through, you know, the people who suffer through it, like myself, and give you the rundown. But it's an exciting time. This is really where I want to emphasize this, is that NBA teams are truly, a lot of these decision makers and high-end, even ownership, are seeing these guys for the first time in this time of the year. I mean, Daryl Morey and Brent Berry, both decision makers out with their respective teams, the Spurs and Sixers, were at the ACC tournament. There's a lot going on there. I mean, there's a lot of teams saying, all right, let's look. The season stats are in the books for the most part. Not much is going to change. Who do we like? Who do we not like?
Yeah, I think that this is in a very important time. And I think that we kind of get we give NBA teams maybe too much credit for the most part. Unlike, they truly are going to get swept up in March Madness, get swept up in the Combine, get swept up in all these different things that we maybe think that they would be like, oh no, they're going to take the larger sample size of the regular season in college hoops. Now they're going to take this last couple of stretches here, come conference time, come NCAA time, but we'll have the whole sample size. And speaking of sample size, Richard, I want to talk, now that we've kind of got to this sweet spot, we're kind of in the golden era of draft coverage, whenever it's conference tournament time in March Madness time, going all the way back to October, November. This draft class was talked about like it had seven guys who could be part of a big three. It had a ton of depth. It was a great draft class. And I still think that this is a really, really, really good draft class. And I still think that this draft class is miles and miles and miles ahead of next year's draft class, and that it will be an opportunity for a team to really improve their core. However, I think that some of it's changed in the sense of, there's not seven or eight guys who can be a part of like your big three. Has this draft really changed, and kind of what's your opinion on how this thing has progressed from November?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it feels like at that Victor Wembanyama Scoot Henderson duel, right, where both of them looked elite, like elite prospects. So that was a very high bar, and that was at the beginning of October, I think. And a month later, college basketball started, and there was a few things. Injuries, I mean, Cam Whitmore, who was considered the top college prospect preseason, didn't play for a little bit, and even when he was playing, he wasn't healthy. It took Jairus Walker a while to get going. Anthony Black and Nick Smith, and also Nick Smith missed time. Dariq Whitehead missed time. So we thought when they would come back, all these guys would be great. Nick Smith's been good. I think there's a lot to dissect there, but you know, it just really hasn't been this high ceiling class. It actually has turned since then as what we thought were like these seven guys that had these crazy high ceilings. It's now a bunch of guys after like four or five where you go, all right, there's a bunch of guys who are going to be high-end starters. They may never be an all-star, but they're going to be high-end starters. And you find this consistent layer of that in every part of the draft. You have it at the top 10, you have it in the top 20, you have it in the top 30, even slipping into the second round at this moment. There's a lot of guys who it feels like can be high-level contributors, whether or not they're all-stars or not as in the future is up in the air. But these high-floor guys have emerged more than the high-ceiling guys.
And I think that one thing that is different about this draft class is for you and I, we've been covering the draft on this podcast for a couple of years now. And every year we've pushed back against Thunder fans that just say, well, the Thunder have a massive amount of draft picks. They can just trade for whoever they want to. That was never the case the last couple of years. And specifically in 2021, whenever they fell to six, you could no longer deliver another team who they wanted for the guy that you wanted. That, you know, draft trades oftentimes are going to work. And the best example is the Luka Trae Young trade, where like, hey, we really want Luka. You guys really want Trae Young. That's not a spot to take Trae Young, and we don't have a spot to take Luka. So let's flip-flop our spots. I'll give you an additional pick, and we move on. And like the Thunder could not deliver the Cavs their version of Trae Young. They weren't in that sweet spot to where I think that this draft, and this is where I want you to come in. I think that this draft, it doesn't necessarily matter where the Thunder are at. They can move up. In some capacity, they can move up in this draft because everything is so jumbled that they can move up a couple spots in this draft because of how many assets they have in the future and because that everyone will have a different perspective and a different target at each and every rung of the draft. Like, no one has a consensus number three right now, to where that is more advantageous for the Thunder who have all these draft picks to try to move up than in years past.
Also, in 2024, the Thunder have three incoming first-round picks. And for those who don't know, the 2023 recruiting class, like the seniors right now, it's considered a weak class. I think there's no top dog. There's maybe one or two who could really compete for that number one, but it's going to be a weak top of the draft at the very least. Like, generally, my rule is the depth for now, for the rest of history, is going to be that the bottom of the draft, like the second round, is always going to be deep because the game has progressed so much. But the top of the draft is just not something you want. So, like, you might as well, this is the year. Everything adds up for Oklahoma City, right? They're on the up and up. They're in that mix still, even for the play-in game, which is big. They can trade up. So, like, if they get some lottery, you know, if they get, like, say, the 10th pick before, after the lottery, they could easily move up to that 5-6 range because they have three first-round picks next year to offer. One of them is the Rockets. That's probably going to be the one they don't want to move the most. They have Utah's, that could also be one, and they have their self. And I'm blanking on who the other one is. The Clippers, of course, for SGA. So you have all these picks. You could easily move up, and it's the perfect storm, right? There, it's a bad draft, plus you're wanting to win. Everything adds up, and I think they should.
I think that they should, especially if they have a guy that they like a lot, like someone that could really help this team get over the hump or help this team kind of tie in the score, which has been playing really well. And I think that as this team continues to play well and continues to impress, like, no matter if they end the play-in or if they end the playoffs or if they end out of the play-in entirely, no matter where this season ends, I think that it's a very positive season for OKC because they're playing this well while dealing with no SGA for some stretches, dealing with no Jalen Williams for some stretches, dealing with no Chet Holmgren for the entire season, who Chet Holmgren is the best and biggest reward from the rebuild. He's your only top five pick in the entire rebuild. Like, he's the guy. Like, he's your top five pick in this system of Chet Holmgren. So to already have progressed to this point where you're flirting with the play-in, then next year's draft, the 2023 draft and next year's season look incredible on the surface. And it's very exciting for Thunder fans to see. Now, Richard, there are some areas that I think that the Thunder should target in the draft to improve this roster. And I want to run them by you by giving you what the Thunder struggle with, and you give us what the Thunder should target in the draft and who the Thunder should target in the draft because of those areas, which would be you performing a BetterHelp service like our good friends over at BetterHelp. BetterHelp is incredible, and you should go there right now because BetterHelp is awesome. You should go try their therapy at betterhelp.com/lockedinNBA to get on your way to feeling like your better self. Make sure that you check it out today with their amazing setup, where you're going to see that they will allow you to go to betterhelp.com/lockedinNBA, find yourself a therapist. And if you don't like that therapist, you can switch it with no hassle for you. Or if you like that therapist, then you guys can, of course, continue moving forward and continue to share your experiences with betterhelp.com. So check it out today. That's betterhelp.com/lockedinToday to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/lockedon. What BetterHelp is an online therapy service for you. So make sure that you go over there and see how they can change your life with this lifelong process. It's about growing. It's about changing. And therapy is all about depending on your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or what we need or how we react to things or why we react to things. And we can talk things through. And make sure that you have this discount at betterhelp.com/lockedon. BetterHelp.com/lockedon, 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/lockedon. We're back on the Lockdown Thunder Podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Thunder basketball. Richard, we're talking draft, so make your second listen the Locked On NBA Big Board Show. And I want to present to you some areas in which the Thunder would need help in the draft, and you present to me prospects who can help them. Let's first go with three-point shooting. I think that the Thunder have, you've seen with Isaiah Joe on the court how much better the Thunder look with floor spacing. You've seen on the court how much better the Thunder look when they have a guy who can knock down triples and space out the defense, and SGA then can thrive off of that. So for you, if I said that the Thunder need the best three-point shooter in the draft class, it would be?
Grady Dick from Kansas. I think his feel for the game is just unreal. It's at a very, very high level. And when you have an elite shooter with an elite feel for the game, you get good results. So I think he's going to be a constant starter. He's one of these guys that has emerged as just a high-level starter. Will he ever be an all-star? I don't think so, but he's going to be a very high-level starter for years to come.
And I think that Grady Dick does a lot more too than just shooting, which is so important. Like, he can be a lights out 3-point shooter, but like you said, feel for the game. He has an ability to just make the scrappy plays and create possessions for you as well. And I think that you put him in an organization that cares about defense, that has shown an ability to develop defense, and he can get even better defensively as well. So yeah, Grady Dick would be one of my top players that I would want the Thunder to walk away with on draft night for OKC. Now, another glaring issue. I think that the Thunder need another bucket getter who, like, you can give the ball to and they can go get themselves a bucket. They can go generate for themselves and score at a high level. Who would that be for OKC?
And so before I answer this, what spot would you have in mind? Anywhere in the draft, or?
Let's do extremely lucky. So like somehow via trade or lottery, they got top five. Let's do middling. So like somehow they got, you know, 7 to 10. Then let's do, you know, kind of somewhere flirting with the play in playoffs to where at that point, let's do 12 to 16.
Yeah, I think, you know, this kind of, there's two answers for the top: Brandon Miller, Amen Thompson. I think Amen's a little bit of a surprise because he's known for his playmaking and just unreal athleticism, but that athleticism is going to help him at the rim. He's improved as a pull-up shooter, or off the dribble at least, shooter at mid-range. Who knows if he can develop that three ball, but if you're looking for two-point scoring, I'd take him or Brandon Miller. The guy who I was going to say actually falls in the middle wing one, and that is Keyonte George. He's somebody who, if you're willing to gamble on just the tools and override the efficiency a little bit, the inefficiencies, he's really good to bet on, and he has other skills too. And then a worst case scenario, I'd say Bryce Sensabaugh. He's a pure swing for the fence, but his skill is so advanced for being how young he is. I mean, he's a freshman, and his feel for the game is terrible though. He doesn't know how to play defense. It's worth a gamble, and Oklahoma City has done a very good job of turning those guys around.
So now that you've kind of laid all of that out there, let's say that the Thunder would need someone who can rebound at the power forward, but play really well off of Chet, and still kind of play at a high level, you know, or a passable level on both ends of the floor. Basically, let's change the game real quick because I make the rules here. I'm the host. Richard, I love Jarace Walker. I think that he's a great fit next to Chet. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, I think there are two guys that come to mind when you said what you just said, and they're both in the American Athletic. They were the two top dogs for freshman of the year, and that's Jarace Walker and Taylor Hendricks. They do a lot of the same things. Personally, I like Hendricks a little bit more. I think he's just got a smoothness to his game that Jarace doesn't have. And just a little bit quicker processing speed, I think, with the ball in his hands. But I like both of them. I think both would be a great fit. I will say, I think, actually, I won't. I'm going to backtrack on that. Both would be great at power forward. I was going to say Jarace, I thought, would be better at power forward, and then I realized Taylor Hendricks led the conference in blocks.
That's fair enough. Look, I like Taylor Hendricks. I think that he is going to be really good as well. And I think that you're right. Like, those two guys are extremely fascinating. Now, having said that, where would the Thunder need to get to get each of those guys? So let's start with Walker, then go to Hendricks. And as a peek behind the curtain, you and I were talking about Jalen Williams, J-Dub, last year at this time, saying, "Hey, the Thunder, where would they need to get? Would they just need to? Would they just need to take him at 12?" And we were like, "Yeah, take him at 12. Like that's where you're gonna have to get him." And what they do, they took him at 12. So let's see what you think about Jarace Walker.
Yeah, I mean, For Jarace, if they got him, look, if you're taking him within the top eight, I would say it's a reach. It's just kind of how I feel. I think he's a perfect guy, like that 9 to 14, anywhere in the back end of the lottery, he'd be good. And for those who don't know about Jarace Walker, what he is he's this guy who he's 6'8", he's a freshman, great defender, one of the best shot contesters in the country. It sounded like a weird phrase coming out. I don't know why, but he can pass a little bit. This is why I like Taylor Hendricks more, though, is not to keep making it about him. And I realize I'm wearing an Orlando Magic shirt where Taylor Hendricks plays college at UCF. But Jarace Walker can pass. And also there's just something to be said for that. He's on the best team as a contributor, as a freshman, doing these things in a way he's hidden, right? That won't be, I think he'd get a little bit more to showcase at Oklahoma City. That's the big argument for Jarace Walker.
So I want to end it by saying the draft picks for the second round. Having just watched this Thunder team play and having, you know, known about, you know, the roster crunch that's going to come for the Thunder and the ballpark of where their first round pick will be. I mean, it can be anywhere from top 10 to 16. So like it's a wide margin, but in the second round, what should they do? In the second round, when they have, you know, pick 38, should they go incredibly high upside, like just go get an incredibly high upside player that might be something and might be nothing? Or should they get someone who is more kind of tangible, more kind of low ceiling but higher floor? Like, in your opinion, in this draft, what's the best route to go in the second round of this class?
Yeah, I think you go with the upside personally. Normally I would actually say, hey, get that floor, but you could I know they have the 50th pick currently. They have that Miami pick. You could probably package those and just move it up to like 33, where if you draft in 30 through 35, your success rate's almost identical to anywhere in the 20 to 30 range. So like, I would say if you're drafting, like if you move up, go take just the best player available, whether you see it as insane upside or an insane floor for that position. But if you're picking at 35, go ahead and just swing for the fences. I think there's going to be some guys that slip. Like I said, it's emerged as a class full of high floors in a lot of ways. That's going to push some high ceiling guys down. Now, I want to emphasize, I know you're about to say something here. I feel like it. Yeah, it's not Khalil Ware. I would not take him at 38. I don't mean to go out of my way to take a jab at him, but he's somebody who I feel like has seen preseason. He was a top 10 guy. Now he's barely playing at Oregon. He's a center that can shoot in theory. He really can't, though. And he has a poor motor. So those have been the knocks on him. I would say something, you've got to make it a realistic high upside, right? Like if Derek Lively were there, for example, even though Lively has been disappointing, he was the number one recruit. even though he's been disappointing, he's still had a lot of flashes. I mean, he's averaging 7, 7, and 3 in like 25 minutes a game with Duke. Like, and the three is blocks. He had, if you want to see his best game, watch the highlights for the first meeting against North Carolina, where he almost had a triple double with blocks. So if he's there, you absolutely do it. If it depends on just who you're going for, I'd say make it a realistic swing for the fences.
So I actually also do not like Ware, and I think that I might be doing that a little bit because of just how terrible the Oregon court is. But like, I do not like Ware at all. So I'm glad that you preemptively took a shot at him. That way I didn't have to. But I am gonna let my bias show here a little bit. Now, I don't want to do the entirely old man take of like, well, why doesn't Zach Edey have a place in the first round? But why doesn't KJ Adams have a place in the second round?
I knew you were going with KJ. I was like, wow, Zach Edey, that threw me off. I thought you were going KJ. And then you did it. You said KJ Adams. So for me, KJ Adams is interesting because I think it's just really that combination of size, and he doesn't shoot. He basically plays like a 6'7" center. That's going to hold him back. And also for those, for any 2K players, if you've done my career, you know that default animation you get for free throws? That is literally KJ Adams' free throw release. I've never seen it ever in the history of time until
that's I such saw him. Slander.
I was like, this is my player, like when I saw him in person. But he's athletic. He's got a great frame. Look, unless he can really shoot the ball in the summer in the draft workouts, he's probably not getting drafted.
I just think that he does so many big body things that you might as well just like give him a little bone in like the second round. But nonetheless, that is absolutely my Kansas bias coming into effect. Now, Richard, let's end it with some fun. Let's go through some simulations and ideas and see where the Thunder would lay out at that point. But first, let's go through some ideas on FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel.com/LockedOn is incredible, folks. It's America's number one sports book. And right now, at the midway point in the NBA season, it is here, and it's the perfect time to download the FanDuel app. New customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back with if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, offers fast withdrawal, super easy to use. Make sure you check them out today. They have money line. They have point spread. They have, you know, three-pointers drain that you can bet on. They have over-under. Like, they have everything you want to bet on at FanDuel. So make sure you go there right now. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance or at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So do not miss your no-sweat first bet. It's $1,000 in bonus bets whenever you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Let's go there right now to the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and you can go to the NBA tab, and you can bet on anything from the stat lines to player props to first basket. Right now, you can bet on the method of the first basket of the Rockets-Pacers game. Who will it be? I'm going to go Jalen Green. That's who I think is going to score the first bucket in that game. So go check it out today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. We're back on the Lockdown Thunder podcast on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Thunder basketball. Richard, our good friend, tankathon.com. We've been doing this a long time. Every year we've done this, we've had to exclusively use Tankathon, but the first few episodes of this season's endeavor into draft content, we haven't had to dust off Tankathon. The Thunder right now are in a jumbled mess for the 8th best odds in the NBA, which then splits everyone at 17.7% chance at the top 4 and a 4% chance at the top overall pick. So this is a mess. This is going to really not get settled until the end of the NBA season. But for now, let's go through three spins and then react to them accordingly of what the best maneuvers would be for Oklahoma City to pull off. So our first spin, Nets, the Wizards pick 1, Portland pick 2, Charlotte pick 3, San Antonio, Detroit, Houston, Orlando, Indiana, Orlando again via Chicago, Utah, and Oklahoma City fell 2 spots to 11. So OKC's at 11. This would be the wackiest outcome of them all. But what would be the move for OKC at 11? Do they, for you, if you were Sam Presti, who would you target in a trade up? And would you target a trade up given that you're at 11? Is that a sweet spot? Is that a bad spot?
I mean, it's a bad spot, but you know that you just got the curse of the Mavs. I think it's because of my presence. Where I mean, if you remember in 2019, the Mavs, Grizzlies, and Pelicans all had the same odds for number one. All the, like every odd was the same. And the two teams to pick number one and two were the Grizzlies and Pelicans. So congratulations, I've cursed you. Apologies for that. But for me, I would definitely trade that up. Even to 7 or 6 would be good. I think you could get some value there. I mean, Indiana might want 2 second round or might want 2 firsts. They might not. You could probably make the argument that someone like Detroit would maybe rather have 2 firsts and try and take 2 swings rather than just one up there. But, you know, I think if you're staying at 11, you take Grady Dick. If you are moving up, you're probably going for one of the Thompson twins or Cam Whitmore.
So I want to play this game also as a little side quest. When we're spinning on Tankathon, I want to look at the Rockets and say, is this Rockets pick in the sweet spot of you would give them back their pick plus your own pick this year for the right to their pick? So at 6, is going from 11 to 6, is that sweet enough for you to say, I'll give you 11 and I'll give you your pick back next year if you just give me 6?
No. I also have a bias that I have grown up hating the Rockets, so I don't want to help them.
No, I totally agree. That's not the sweet spot at all to be giving away next year's Rockets pick. No. So we'll spin it one more time. Let's say Grady Dick's the pick right here. Let's say that you can trade up to 8. Because Orlando, they have 7 and 9. I don't think that they'd want to trade.
They don't want more picks.
Yeah. So this is a tough one. So like, let's say you get Grady Dick, which would still be awesome. I really like Grady Dick, and I'm a Kansas fan. So the next spin, San Antonio goes to 1. Oh, it happened again. Richard, you're cursing us. San Antonio goes to 1. Indiana jumps to 2. Portland jumps again to 3. Detroit, Houston, Charlotte, Orlando. They get 7-8 because of the Chicago pick. Utah and Oklahoma City. So now the Thunder are at 10. And at 10, obviously we want to trade up. And now let's do the first question. Let's do, is 5, if you could say, hey, we'll give you 10 and your pick back next year for 5. If Houston would do that, would that be worth it?
You could probably get a franchise-altering player at 5. Because I think the way I look at it, it's say the top 5 is Victor, Scoot, the Thompson twins, Amen Thompson, and then kick one of any of the 3, Brandon Miller, Ausar Thompson, and Cam Whitmore. Say that's the top 5. One of those guys, I think of those 3, is going to be a franchise changer. And honestly, I'd take the chance at having to pick through 2 of them, right? Where if the first 4 picks are, say, Amen, Brandon, no, obviously not in this order, but on top of Victor and Scoot, then you have to choose between Cam, Ausar. You're kind of kicking off the second half of the top 10 in that regard of that split. That might be a good spot to be in. I think it actually might be worth it there.
So I think that you're right. That like at 5, I would do it. But then, you know, you flip it on its head of like, would Houston want to do it? And then that'd kind of change some things, because I think that 5 and up would be where you'd absolutely give the Rockets, you know, at least your own pick and their pick back, plus maybe even a sweetener to do it at 5 and up for OKC. So at 10... who would be the target for you? I would say that the target would be it would really be Charlotte at 6, because, you know, again, we mentioned Orlando wouldn't want more picks and they'd pick at 7 and 8. And why would they want to move down necessarily? And then Utah's only going up one spot. So like Charlotte at 6, is there anything that could work there, or would Charlotte be just kind of frantically trying to move up?
I mean, Charlotte's depleted. I mean, they're still recovering from missed draft picks over the last couple of years, just like misses on those picks. They didn't trade him out. But then Miles Bridges was an abrupt departure where they just lost a key core member. So I think they might be open to multiple picks. I actually think Charlotte would be a great, great fit. And even going back to that last scenario where I think they had the 4th pick or something, or even the 3rd, it was something like that. You might be able to entice them if they're 3rd, 4th, or 5th, throw in the 2024 pick to your 10th pick and maybe one future pick or something. Actually, I don't even think you need the future pick. You could just do those 3 picks this year, next year. Combined 3, by the way, 10 and 2 from next year, you actually probably have something pretty solid there.
Now, the final spin. Can we get any luck? Richard, you've got to go. Portland, number one. Indiana, number two. Houston,
oh my God,
number three. This is the worst case scenario. The redo. Thunder stay at redo. 10. They get leapfrogged like the Mavs did, and their arch nemesis, the Houston Rockets, keep number three. What are you doing to us? And your Orlando Magic are at four, Detroit at five, San Antonio at six, Charlotte at seven, Orlando at eight again. So Orlando gets 4-8 in this draft class, Utah and OKC.
See, hold on. What you got to do is what I just did. I just spun it until I got Oklahoma City in the lottery. And you're welcome. I got it only on five or six tries. I lost count of which one it was. But sorry, I just ranted about that. Now I've forgotten. I've seen this, and now I've forgotten the number you just told me. They were 10 again. They got leapfrogged.
OKC's 10 again, and I'll give you the trade target. So Charlotte's at 7. San Antonio's at 6. Detroit and Troy Weaver, our old friend, is at 5. And then Orlando's at 4. And Houston's at 3.
You could easily trade with Detroit. I mean, I feel like their track record is they want multiple picks, right? That, have they not done this every year?
Yeah, like, that would be great to go up to 5.
It feels like think about it. 2020, they had 3 picks, actually. They got Killian. They got Isaiah Stewart. They got Sadiq Bey. 2021, I think they might have just gotten Cade and then called it a night. But last year, they got Jaden Ivey and Jalen Durant. History suggests they're probably going to take two. Like, you have 2 out of 3 years sample size being that they've taken six picks in the first round between 3 years. Like, that's on average 2 picks a year. Math says they're probably going to do it again this year. So actually, it adds up.
Now, I'm going to spin it again, and I hope that we get a good Thunder result. We did not. I'm going to spin it again.
Just keep spinning till you get it. I want to get the good stuff. I could even give you mine. I could turn the tables and spin.
Okay, I got Thunder 4. Now, I'm going to cheat here and just flip-flop the Thunder and Magic, because I really want to talk about Thunder being
three. That's not nice.
You know, you deserve it after cursing the Thunder for so many spins. So the top 5, Houston, Charlotte, OKC, Orlando, Detroit.
What did I do to you?
Hey, you cursed, the spin. Now, at 3, please reiterate to the audience that the Thunder – could never trade for Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson.
Yeah, I don't know how to break this to everybody listening, but the Thunder cannot trade that pick for Victor Wembanyama. Worse, they could maybe. I actually think too, if they did the Godfather offer of, they would have to throw in probably more than it would take from to go from 10 to 5 than 2 to 3. So, like you heard what I said with 3 picks, including like this year and 2 next year. And that even would be the Houston and Utah picks, very desirable picks. You'd probably have to throw in more.
Yes. So at 3, you get the pick to start the draft. In a draft where there's no consensus, 3rd, are you keeping it or are you moving back?
Like Oklahoma City needs more assets. I think, if you're Sam Presti's pretty good at this stuff, right? He could have moved back in 2021 when he had the 5th or 6th pick. I forget where they got Giddey. And, you know, he got his guy. I think Sam Presti's a guy who he's confident in what he sees. I think he keeps it and says, all right, I'll make the right pick. I'm confident in my abilities. And I think he stays there.
Yeah. I that's totally going to be my answer as well of like, I think that other teams would kind of panic or like want to try to move out. And the Thunder, if they got 3, they'd celebrate and they'd just make a selection at that 3. With that being said, who is the best fit in OKC, not named Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama?
I mean, just the combination of the 3 things you said, there's one guy who checks, there's potentially 2, but I think there's one guy at a high level right away that we know for certain translates, and that's Brandon Miller. He can play power forward. He's 6'9". He could play that, you know, both forward spots, honestly. He can shoot. As you said, you know, they need a sharpshooter. For those who don't know, Brandon Miller, I checked this out the other day, but with tournament play, he can change it. He's shooting 40% from 3, 85% from the line, which, by the way, do you know how rare it is for a forward to shoot even 80% is pretty ridiculous. 85 is generally an elite number. Like if you're 85 or above on that free throw percentage, like consider your shot translating. Like there's no doubt about it. That's insane. And then on top of it, you said the guy who can create his own shot. I think he's a guy who's going to be a great great scorer off the dribble one day. And honestly, his scoring seemed to translate beautifully because if you look at his shot chart, and I'll tweet that out coming here after the SEC tournament, he is very analytical. There's a bunch of zones in the mid-range he hasn't even taken a shot from. Like he is at the rim and he's 3-point shooting. It's very analytically minded. So I think he translates beautifully.
Brandon Miller is the guy at three. The off the court stuff, of course, would have to be dove into and litigated, but on the court product, he's my number three on the big board. Like, that's on the court product. Now, we don't have the luxury of talking to him. We don't have the luxury of knowing him as a person. So that will be all up to the Thunder and all up to the other NBA teams to figure out. But on the court product, you're absolutely right of him being top three and number three for OKC moving forward. Now, we are watching ACC tournament play. And it's in the show talking about my best and favorite second-round prospect because of you who put me on to my best second-round prospect that I like, Isaiah Wong.
Oh, my God. Wow. I never thought I'd see the day where I convinced somebody else. You want me to give the sales pitch?
Go ahead. Because you've converted me.
Cool. So I've been on this train since March of 2020, pretty much. So for those who don't know, I'm from Florida. I'm a Miami fan. So I don't mean to make this about myself, but I've always had an especially interest in Miami because of that fandom. So I saw Isaiah Wong. I knew who he was as a recruit out of the Philadelphia, Jersey area, but I never really considered him that seriously because he was like at the lower end of the top 100, whatever. So I get to watch him as a freshman and I'm like, okay, there's some flashes. And then come 2020, he starts killing it. He should have been the most improved player in the ACC. Matthew Hurt won it instead that year when both of them were sophomores. And then Isaiah Wong since then has exploded. He just won the ACC Player of the Year. Now the stuff with him as to why I like him. Yes, he is 6'2", 6'3". I get it. He's a combo guard. That's not exactly a desirable frame. I hear you. But he's the best space creator in the country right now. His shot has improved. Everything scouts asked him to do this summer was around shooting. They said, hey, improve your shot. Show that you can shoot over contests. He does that great. If in fact, as we're recording, Wake Forest and Miami are playing, and he has been doing that. And then on top of that, he also can just shoot the three ball catch and shoot at a high level. He's shooting 38%, 37% heading into the ACC tournament from three, 80%+ free throw percentage. Like I said, just as a moment ago, that free throw percentage is there. That's a high level thing. And he's very athletic. He can finish at the rim. He can create for others. I think he's an NBA player. He might just be a backup guard, a volume scorer off the bench. My comparisons for him, actually I have an OKC guy in there. First is Cole Anthony, a little bit of shades of him. And then Trey Mann, just the space creation and stuff just feels one-to-one with him. So I'm a big Isaiah Wong fan. It's going to be hard to take a 6'2 combo guard senior with short arms, you know, in the top of the second round. But I think he is somebody who no matter where he's drafted or not, he's going to return good value.
Yeah, Isaiah Wong is going to be fun. And I cannot wait to watch him play in Summer League and in obviously the combine and everything. I think that'll play in the combine. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. Hopefully you'll enjoy watching Isaiah Wong in the rest of the ACC tournament and the rest of March Madness next week, which will be a fun little storyline for the sickos of the Lockdown Thunder podcast to follow along with. Because if you've made it to minute marker 38, which Renee yelled at for, and you've heard the Isaiah Wong talk, you are an absolute sicko, and I appreciate you. And we will have our own little Isaiah Wong fan club. So, Richard, thank you for joining us. Talk about NBA Big Board and what's to come.
Yeah, on NBA Big Board, we talk every element of the draft 5 days a week. So we're there every day for you, talking anything. Pretty much if you listen from January, honestly, September, all year round, actually, to the draft time, you'll find the topic covered that you're looking for, as specific as you're looking for.
I love it. It's a great listen. And it should be your next listen. So until tomorrow, be good and be good to one another.